Live at Nightmare Studios, you're listening to a special holiday edition of the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two mamalukes talk about the year in hard rock and heavy metal as they drink some extra special beer they've been saving for the occasion. So happy holidays, and horns up! Get ready for two guys who are so metal they hang chainmail stockings on a chimney. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Fucking beautiful.
That brought a tear to my eye. Or maybe that was just the smell. I don't know.
I threw up a little bit in my mouth, but maybe it was a burger. No, it couldn't have been the burger. The burger was too good.
The burger was pretty damn good. It was coming back to say hello.
You two fucks are the most ungrateful pieces of shit I ever met.
Hey, dude, it's fucking Christmas.
Yeah,
come on.
Watch your language.
Calm down.
That's not the spirit of Christmas.
Me and cheese, we practiced all fucking week on that shit.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry to hear you didn't advance further.
Well, fuck you both. Fuck you. You will fucking pay.
Dude.
You will fucking pay.
Oh my god. Dude, we're just fucking with you.
No shit.
Can you start the video, please?
Somebody didn't get their new jock for Christmas. You're a little pissed off.
No shit. Well, one of his Edmund Man checks bounced.
Uh-oh.
That's what I heard.
It's bound to happen sooner or later.
Ah, it's going to happen, right?
What can you do?
Was he, like, surfing up there?
I know. Is that Sofia Vergara? It's beautiful.
Hello.
What?
He's
not here. No, I was doing the Seth MacFarlane thing for Family Guy.
So what are we watching over here? We got, well, hey, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Merry Christmas to all of yous people from both of us, eh?
The G&R show.
Exactly.
To be mistaken by the Guns N' Roses show.
Right.
You know, those fuckers had to come back, right?
Right, and so, fuck it up.
Everybody's like, I love G&R. I was like, oh, man, they love Gangsters and Ragman. It's awesome, man.
That's what we assumed, right?
He's like, who are they?
And then they came back and said, oh, the Guns N' Roses. Like, oh, fuck, I forgot about those guys.
Yeah, you kind of
I guess it's not us. But what are we watching here? We're watching a little Black Sabbath?
Yeah, Black Sabbath, the end.
It's the Sabs.
The very last show they did in Birmingham.
That's right. It was the final tour of the final
Yeah, and we tour. Saw the live show.
That was excellent, too. One of the highlights.
Better. Yep, totally, totally. But now they've released, came out this year, a few months ago, prior to like the holidays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty nice little package. Blu-ray looks amazing, right?
Totally, yeah. If it's Blu-ray, it's clear enough. You can see the disgusting tips of Tony Iommi's fingers.
Well, I was reading his fucking glasses. I can read his glasses.
Oh, that's amazing, dude.
But anyway, so actually, that's I don't know if we're jumping into the list right now, but definitely a kick is for 2017. Sabbath is done,
but we did. Sabbath was last year's when we saw him, right?
Right.
But yeah, a kick that they're finally done. Not happy about that, as you said. But you know, I mean, I think kudos to a band for realizing, hey, let's not drag this out forever. Let's do it. Let's go out with a bang. Let's give a nice big final tour to the world and finish it out classy. I thought they did it pretty classy.
Oh, it was very classy. Well, you got to wonder what would have happened had Dio lived. Would we even seen this again?
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Maybe after Iommi had the cancer, maybe you would have done a run with Dio and done a run with Ozzy and said, okay, I'm done.
I like to think so. That would have been sweet.
Or how cool would you, what you have, there's no way Ozzy and Sharon would have agreed, but how cool would it have been a Dio Ozzy Sabbath tour?
Fuck yeah, dude. Just all go together, switch off on songs, do a duet on one song.
Oh yeah.
Shit.
You could do, Ozzy could do the first set and then Dio could come out and do the second set.
Fucking amazing.
He'll close. No, I guess Ozzy was, Sharon's, there's no fucking way it's going to happen. Ronnie, it's not Ozzy.
It would have been Battle of the Metal Chicks. It would have been Sharon Osbourne
versus Wendy.
Versus Wendy Dio.
No,
it would have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been crazy.
They would have had the knife fight where they wrap their arms together with tape and then they hold fucking knives in the other hand and they try to kill each other.
No shit.
Like the monkey knife fight, Holmes.
It's like the Sam and Dave tour a few years ago.
Exactly.
Who's going to open, who's going to close.
But anyway, I mean, I'm happy as we're getting to the end of the year. I think a lot of people are ready for 2017 to be over. For various reasons. Us personally, Harvey.
Yeah.
Hurricane Harvey was a pain in our ass. Still feeling the effects of it, of course.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to get political, but, you know, a lot of shit going on in this country. So,
sure.
We'll get into that. But we've got our own, as you know, as our faithful listeners know, we've got our own list of things to talk about, right, for the year. This is the annual Kicks and Kisses show, where we have the kicks to the balls and the kisses to the balls.
Damn straight.
And we usually trade off, so we can jump right into whenever you want, or we can do a little more banter.
Well, I tell you what, let's play some Sabbath, classic
Yeah,
Sabbath.
Totally, I'm down with that.
Just to join us with this video, then we should open a beer before we start discussing our favorites of the year.
Sure.
So, classic Ozzy, favorite Ozzy era Sabbath song. I don't mind. And yeah, everybody's going to go, it's obvious.
Yeah, everyone has their, yeah.
I don't care, but I fucking love War Pigs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
To me, War Pigs is just
It's quintessential Sabbath.
And yeah, it's popular. It's a song everybody's heard, but man, it's just so powerful.
It's a great fucking song.
Ozzy sounds awesome on it. I mean, just, it's a great song.
It may be one of their best songs of all time.
Agreed. One of the greatest metal songs of all time.
Fuck yeah, for sure.
But it's just got everything in a metal song. So I vote to say, let's play some War Pigs.
Damn straight.
Let's do it.
Tony's going, Holmes.
I'm getting parched, and I'm fucking fucking over the moon excited over this beer.
You should be. Well, let's
see. Cost me enough.
Well, here's the thing. I'll ask you this. We got a special thing going on here tonight. We got a special gift from one of our fans, a Christmas present.
Oh, yeah.
And I think maybe we should open it because it's kind of fitting.
We can open a gift?
Yeah.
We can drink out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't you, let me pull out the box here. You can open it. I'll let you open it. Want to get your reaction.
That you assholes are going to drink beer out of each other's assholes.
That was classy. Speaking
dude,
of classy.
Calm the fucking, I know, calm fucking dude. Down. It's Christmas.
I'd say he's got something up his ass, but that goes without saying.
No shit.
Okay, I'm just a little bit hurt.
I can imagine. How far up did it go?
Fuck you. You want me to start up again?
No,
like you
no,
won't anyway.
Yeah, no shit. So what's the problem? Why are you hurt?
You didn't like my singing.
We didn't say we didn't like it.
No, we didn't say. I mean, dude, you were singing in Aerosmith for what, 2 or 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you want?
I just didn't use the vibrato that we're used to. I mean, had you and McCheese maybe done like a little harmony thing?
That would have been
that
nice.
You know, we're not being dicks. We're just critiquing, and you should appreciate what we're doing for you.
Constructive criticism is the best thing you could ask for.
That kind of makes you better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so can we drink a beer now?
Yeah, please. Yeah, okay. So here, you open up. We got the box the package. It's in there, unwrapped.
Are those your cum rags? What's in there?
Thanks for being gross.
Fucking all sticky and hard.
I
fucking towels.
Just open it up.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
What's in here? Oh, God, it's all wet and cold.
No, it's not.
It's slimy.
No, it's... Why you gotta be good?
Oh, we got a little glass. Oh, fucking awesome. Nice.
Is that great?
Wow.
That was from our old buddy, Eric, also known as Snake.
Dude,
from up in New York.
This is fucking, this is vintage shit, man.
Isn't that bad? Fuck yeah, it is. I'm like, dude, 1977, I think it is.
Don't let McCheese see this, man.
I know, he'll fucking see
fuck
the fuck out
he
of
will
it.
Snag it. That's a collector's item.
He'll want it for himself. Be drinking out of
that,
it.
Well, that motherfucker will sell it on eBay and make a couple $100. You know him. Will. When he gets around the collectible stuff, forget about it. You don't want to be around him. He gets nuts.
He gets the 1,000-yard stare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he'll put an injunction on this glass.
Try to fucking
this
possess
is
it.
Snake, you're awesome, dude. That is a true... Our true fan number one.
For sure, dude.
Listens to the stupid shit we do. Dude, this is freaking awesome. Where you found this, this is amazing, man. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, man. It's fucking awesome, man.
I knew you would dig it.
You are the fucking man, dude. You have been with us since pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah. Yep. Always been a good fan, and like I said, this puts it over the top there.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that you were the first guy that ever sent us shit, so... And this ain't shit. This is fucking cool, man. Totally cool. Totally cool, man. So thank you so much. We will keep it away from Mr. McCheese.
Yep.
He's out doing something right now. He's politicking or something. I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, and for those of y'all didn't catch on what we got a really cool glass.
Yeah, totally.
That's a Mayor McCheese glass from the old McDonald's.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, straight from the 70s, man.
So,
pretty sweet.
Mr. G...
So,
dude,
as you
I
were
got
saying,
fucking wood over this.
Yes, I know. You were all about it because this is one of the ones that you did on the annual camp
beer
out
run.
In front of Specs, right? On Black Friday?
Yeah. And they would. I only could get one of these. So
I know, dude.
We're
really
drinking the only one that we have in the Right to Rock possession.
Then let's get on with it then. This is, of course, the Goose Island Bourbon Blueberry Imperial Stout. Is that what it says? Goose Island Bourbon County Grand Northwoods Stout. Is what they put, Brand Northwood Stout, is what they put on the actual bottle. And it's a blueberry flavored stout that's supposed to be out fucking rageous from every report. It's a little dark to read the label, but the label, as we always say, is the classic.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful brown label with a raised glass that has the name.
Oh, and then the way they got the little sticker there on the side of the top.
Makes
like
the shit feel
hey,
real.
This is important shit here.
Yeah, like you don't know how fucking rare this shit is you have. And let's see if I can get a light on this thing and give you a quick read of the label. Of course, Goose Island is one of those legendary beers that we first heard about. What was the guy we talked to who turned us on to that shit?
Vladimir. He was
werewolf
from,
or what was it?
Wolfman Fangstein or something like that.
Yeah.
What Lords of the Trident?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. They were fucking awesome.
He's a cool dude. Yeah.
This one says on the side of this guy from the Goose Island who makes some really incredible beers. We had their regular Bourbon County stout.
Not this year's yet.
Right, but
this is the first.
But that was the one we really got turned on to
right.
The amazingness of this brewery, and now this one, the Goose Island Bourbon County brand Northwood Stout. It says here, aromas of rich dark chocolate, fresh blueberry, and nutty marzipan. This motherfucker is cat daddy. Develops in the bottle up to 5 years.
Damn.
It says, and it's just stout aged in bourbon barrels with blueberry juice and almond extract added. So this motherfucker,
I can't fucking wait.
12.6 ABV. Let's just fucking get into this and quit dicking around because I'm already thinking fours all the way.
Oh, yeah. I want to give it a four. Do we have to be fair and tasty? And by the way, we have our brand new Parish Brewery.
Oh, no.
Sifter,
sweet,
like wine glass type thing.
They're the funky little, I think it's like a tulip glass.
Yeah.
It's like a modified tulip glass.
Very nice. Very cool.
And it's supposed to be great for, I mean, look at it. You can see the beautiful lacing in here. I mean, appearance is, that's a four, dude. I mean, it kind of looks, it's got a little bit of a purpley, winey color.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'd give it a four. The aroma.
Oh, it smells beautiful.
Oh, man, it smells amazing. Four.
Cheers.
Oh, shit, let's just drink this thing and get it over with.
Oh, fuck, that's good.
Oh, my God.
Mmm.
Holy shit. I mean, it's rich. It's
very rich.
Very rich. But all the flavors.
God.
I think you know what it is. What's killing us is it's actually colder than it probably should be.
Oh, maybe
as
so.
It warms up. I think it's going to get amazing. And that's part of why these glasses are designed this way, so that your hand holds it and warms up the glass.
Ah, there
so
you go.
So you get like a nice warming effect going on there. Yeah. And then also the shape of it helps concentrate the aromas and everything to your nose as you drink it.
Is that how you cradle your penis?
No.
I don't think I've ever cradled my penis.
And I use the Eastern European overhand grip anyway when I do. Obviously.
Cradle your penis.
This guy.
Oh. Sometimes he's kind of funny.
He kind of is, I'll admit it. But
I didn't want to stress kind of.
But so far, the taste, yeah,
it's
that's
fucking
like a
amazing.
Four.
Four.
I mean, I just...
Fucking four.
Orange. Right? It's not like we didn't know this wasn't going to happen.
No shit. It's rigged, Jerry. It's rigged.
It might as well be, man. Anything from Goose Island, man. Their stuff, especially their yearly stuff that comes out during the Black Friday time, is usually amazing.
It just sucks that they. Well, my bank account wouldn't afford more than maybe two, but
that and
if
just some
I
of these
had
guys.
Two and cellared one.
Oh shit! And that and some of these guys, they're fucking fanatical about it, right?
Yeah.
These store owners that are just like, no one only.
I mean,
it's like, what do you care? Like you're gonna get in trouble or something?
Well, some dickhead could come in there and buy a case, and no one else would get it.
And that would make him a dickhead, and that would be that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, let's say a case costs $100 or whatever for the sake of argument. So whether you sold each one individually and made $100 or sold it all at once and made $100, what do you care? I mean, the customer's going to be pissed, but like that'll give you incentive to get your ass here Black Friday next year and get in line, boy.
Well, fuck, I couldn't even buy but one.
That's messed up. I mean, if you get there and there's just a bunch of them there and like, well, I want two instead of one, what do they care?
Yeah.
I mean, get the line thing. I hear what you're saying.
If they would have let me buy two, I would have bought probably the coffee because the coffee is supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, I totally want to try
and
the
then,
coffee.
And the blueberry. The blueberry is the one, when I read about it, my buddy from Oklahoma sent me the thing, the link about what they were doing this year.
Yep.
I was like, I got to have the fucking blueberry.
Yeah, you're like, this sounds too amazing to be fucking true. And there was an article that came out a while back. It was back in June, I think it was. And
I think that's the article I got.
Yeah, from the Chicago Tribune, because they're based in Chicago. And it said, this year, Goose Island's releasing 7 Bourbon County beers, the most ever. as the brewery regains confidence. And they had the Bourbon County Brand Stout, the Coffee Stout, the Barley Wine, the Northwood Stout, which is the blueberry and almond, the Proprietor's Bourbon County Brand Stout, Flavors Evoking Bananas Foster.
Oh, shit.
That would have been awesome.
Like that one too.
Bourbon County Reserve Brand Barley Wine, aged 2 years. And then the Bourbon County Reserve Brand Stout, aged in 11-year-old Knob Creek bourbon barrels.
That would have been nice,
That would have been nice as well. So,
What they did on the specialty ones,
yeah,
that's where they fuck you on price.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have many. We're going to fuck you, right? So bend over.
I know. Tell you what.
You take it. Why don't you bend over?
Why don't you bend over? So hell, another fantastic beer. Great way to end the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a couple other really good beers lined up as well for the as the night goes on. But
this to me for top one of the top beers of the year.
Fuck, definitely.
This hits it, baby.
Definitely. So maybe we want to go into a tune. Well, I tell you what.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to a kick song. Somebody that put something out pretty cool this year that we really dug. You got one in mind, or you want me to pull something out of my arse?
Pull something out of your ass. This is a pull something out of your ass kind of night.
Yeah, no shit, Chad, no shit. So anyway, how about, I mean, there was a lot, actually quite a bit of good music that came out this year. Sons of Apollo, brand new band. Jeff Scott Soto, Mike Portnoy, Billy Sheehan, Derek Sherinian, and Bumblefoot. We played some of their music before, but what a just a fucking awesome record. And this isn't a one-off from what you've heard now when you heard the interview we did with Jeff Scott Soto, where he said this is going to be a real thing, and they're going to tour in 2018. So that is going to be a fucking awesome show to go see, man. I mean, just going to be interesting what the set list will be. Do they play the whole record?
Right.
Or do they pull from everybody's shit? That could be fucking awesome, man. So, how about Coming Home? It's time for the official Kicks and Kisses of 2017.
You made that sound so professional, Holmes.
I know, Holmes. I'm going with my radio voice.
I think usually what we do is I think we start off with the kicks so we can end off with the positive notes of the kisses.
We could
right?
do that. Yep.
So let's just go through it. And, you know, we don't really have to follow any set order. We kind of did in the beginning, but, you know, we're looser about it now. I'll kind of go over some of the obvious stuff. I think this year, we had some deaths that were notable.
Uh-oh. You hear that? Hell's Bells. What's that tell you?
I think we know who.
AC/DC.
Yep. I think that brings us to our first one.
Malcolm Young,
yeah. So I don't know you probably know what they've officially said, if they've said anything so far, but I would assume, I mean, why go on? You've already lost Brian Johnson, you lost Malcolm Young. What the hell, man?
Well, the rumors are Angus is going to keep on going, and they're going to get Axl Rose to sing. Why Guns N' Roses is off. But
right.
thing is, Guns N' Roses has already announced the dates for 2018.
Oops.
I didn't get the memo.
I mean, that would be weird. I mean, they want, I mean, to actually do, imagine if they did an album.
Yeah, and then that's speculation that
makes
happen.
Him the lead singer for AC/DC. It'd be weird.
But I think Brian Johnson's pissed because he got his hearing thing under control and he's been shut out.
Oh, I thought it was a permanent problem that he couldn't get over.
I'm just saying.
Okay,
fair enough.
Well, so I mean, that might be an ongoing saga that we hear about. It just seems like, I mean, I know realistically the heart and soul of AC/DC is pretty much Angus Young.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for
AC/DC is Angus Young.
Exactly.
They've had a singer before, Bon Scott, obviously, then Brian Johnson. You mean you would have thought when Bon Scott was dead, who the hell's going to replace them?
Right.
And yet Brian Johnson came in and knocked it out of the park. Still not taking away anything from Bond, but ushering in a new chapter. I don't see that third chapter, if there's going to be one. I don't see that being Axl Rose.
Well, I mean, not in the game either, right?
Yeah, as a stand-in so they can finish a tour, so they can finish their commitments,
sure.
I can see it. But going forward, I, if it were me, I would just end it and say, you know what, we're done. If I were Angus, I'd be like, look, he was my brother, I loved him, we started this band together. He's gone now. We played for like 40, 50 years. I mean, we can just stop now and be fine. Why need to keep going?
Well, I'm sure he's got enough bread. Mm-hmm. And he can just live off the royalties of
Right. It just seems crazy to keep going.
What, they had the highest selling record of all time in Back in Black?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Something like that. So, I mean, yeah, there's no need to keep going. It's just it might start to look kind of sad after that point.
Right.
But anyway, also something that happened in July, we had David Zabludowsky, bassist for Adrenaline Mob, and I think one of the founding members of Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, he was in Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I don't remember. I thought I read somewhere he was one of the founding members. I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, but well, in any case, look at that, and Paul O'Neill.
Yeah,
in any case. TSO as well.
In any case, you've got, he was bassist for Adrenaline Mob. I think they were coming here on tour. I was debating whether to go see him or not. They were coming here, and then I heard that, hey, that happened. And I thought, shit, that throws a dark pall
over a little bit of a monkey wrench there. Into things, yeah.
And then finally, of course, back in May, middle of May or so, we had Chris Cornell, vocalist, guitarist of Soundgarden. He died suicide, hung himself at the age of 52. That was weird.
Yeah, it was.
That surprised me when I heard
that. Apparently, he had a lot of problems. I guess internally.
Yeah, that's too bad, because I thought supposedly his family life was doing pretty good.
Well, I've heard that too, and I heard, I think part of it was too, was he suffered from depression and some other shit.
Oh, okay.
And he over-medicated himself, whether it be, maybe that's what stemmed him to commit suicide or what.
Could happen, I guess, if you artificially sort of inflate or sort of keep up your personality with drugs, and then maybe you miss a dose or something.
Sure.
That crash could be so bad because you're used to being up here that anything less might feel so horrible that it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that, who knows? I don't know how that works. Luckily, I don't have those problems, at least not yet.
Yeah.
Despite being on this show for this long, I still feel
all right. John and McCheese long.
But anyway, so those were the deaths. What about you? Did you have any others? I'm sure you had some on your list.
Well, actually, one that really just bummed me out, I heard about last week. And I guess he died back on the 13th a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was Worl Dane from Nevermore.
Oh, yeah.
And loved Nevermore, saw him play live
mm-hmm.
a couple times. And really dug him. I got one of his solo record. He went back to Sanctuary. He was in Sanctuary. So never was a big Sanctuary fan. I really dug the Loomis Worl Dane connection in Nevermore.
Right.
Because Jeff Loomis is fucking awesome, as you know.
Sure.
But yeah, that one bummed me out. Another one, a huge one for me, was Joey Alves, the old rhythm guitar player for Y&T.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away. So now Leonard Hayes is gone, Joey Alves is gone, and Phil Kennemore's gone. So the only original Y&T guy now is Medicati, and Medicati's still kicking ass. So it's awesome that he's carrying the Y&T flag still. But, you know, just another guy passes away.
Right.
Which is pretty sad. We mentioned Paul O'Neill. and Kenny Richards from Autograph, drummer from Autograph.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He passed away. Not a big Linkin Park fan, but Chester Bennington died.
Yeah. The guy, he did the Cheeto commercials. The Cheeto. No, that's not him? Chester Cheeto Holmes.
Chester Cheeto Bennington Holmes. He's like, I'm not going to tell you me middle name. I'm going to get embarrassed, right? No, we josh a little bit there, but...
yeah, I mean, we don't mean to make light of these guys, sure.
Rest in peace, but not a fan of the old... Linkin Park.
No, I can't claim that, but but you know, you
that's
still
pretty definitive.
But still, you get these people that you know they
you're
were
homeless, Doc. You know that,
dude. Fucking calm down.
Yeah,
tonight.
Dude, just simmer down over there.
Crying in my skin,
dude. That's not even the lyrics.
Well, I'm just trying.
Well, I appreciate the effort, but. Thank God for the mute button. That may be one of the...
He's still going.
That may be one of the kisses. Yeah, of course. That may be one of the kisses of 2017 is having homeboy Tommy
having
fix that
mute button
fixed.
No shit. That is a kiss.
Anyway, that we could probably slide from there into the bands that disbanded.
Sure.
So. You mentioned at the top of the show, of course, February 2nd and 4th, which is when this is filmed, Black Sabbath, they played the final two shows. In the Girding Arena, is that what it was called? In Birmingham? Genting Arena.
I don't remember the arena.
They were the final 2 days of the band's farewell tour called The End, and we were lucky enough to see that.
Yes.
I mean, it was last year, but we enjoyed the shit out of it. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was badass.
And so we know what the guys were seeing and hearing then, and they put on a hell of a show. Also, Aerosmith embarked on their final tour, which probably going to be their final tour after 47 years together.
Dude, that's a long
fucking
time, bro.
A. That's nearly 50 fucking... They've nearly been doing it as long as I've been alive. Fucking A.
Yeah.
So they called that, of course, the Aero Verderci Baby Tour. So that's...
It doesn't seem like they get along so well anymore either.
That's the thing. It's probably good for them. If your band... If there's one thing if all the cool people die or if all the best people leave or whatever.
Right.
But if everybody's still around but they just kind of don't like each other
anymore...
Yeah,
exactly.
It's probably best to just let that go. You know what I mean? Like you said, you can live off the royalties the rest of your fucking life.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, after 47 years, you've made some coin.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need to fucking keep it up when it's just a big slog. Because the audience can feel that, you know?
What do you think they'll do? You think Perry will do like a little solo thing? Or, I mean, I really like the Whitford St. Holmes stuff. I don't know if you've heard much of that.
I don't. St.
Holmes, he was the original singer for Ted Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
Or sang with Ted Nugent in the early days.
Right, right.
And then Brad Whitford, the guitar player for Aerosmith.
You want to play
it's pretty good
it?
Shit there. Yeah, yeah.
Throw a track out.
Let's, how about we do Shapes?
So, like I said, yeah, you're right. I think that Joe Perry will probably do a solo album or so. I think Steven's been dicking around with stuff like country and shit. Yeah. And he did the American Idol thing. He's been just kind of dicking around. I think he's too old to be doing trying to do any acting stuff. I know he's done cameos in movies and shit.
Right.
But I think it'd be a mistake to do that. You know, I think that if I were them, I'd just be like, you know what? Why don't I just fucking retire?
Yeah,
just completely just give it up. Just show up every now and then as some cameo somewhere just to be cool. But other than that, fuck it. I don't need to do this anymore.
Right.
Just chill. Enjoy what's left of your life. Other bad news, unless you have any other bands that broke up or disbanded.
Him broke
that's
up.
That's right. They
yeah, they're on their farewell tour, I think. I want to say it's going into 2018.
I know you're always a big fan of them.
Was a big fan of him, and it's sad to see that they're gone, but I don't know what's going on. They hadn't put out a new record in a while, so I think they said they're cashing in on Christmas, Holmes.
One of the greatest
John,
songs ever,
Holmes. Little bad news. Let's do it. Cashing in on Christmas. Hear those cash bills ring. Jingle bells make money. Everybody sing. Queuing up like whirlwinds to get our Christmas hits. With lots of peace and love and joy and jingle bells on it. This is our Christmas single. Please make it number one. And give us all your money to make our Christmas fun. Cashing in on Christmas. Hear those cash bills ring. Jingle bells make money.
Love the fucking bad news.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it must be like their swan song. They're like, we saw them, and dude, they were about to make it really big in the U.S. And wifey and I saw them on a tour. It's been probably 5-6 years ago. And the lead singer, Vallejo, he was fucked up. Couldn't remember the lyrics. It was kind of bumming that it was like, wow, you know, I didn't know if I'd ever see this band live, and I'm seeing them, and the guy's kind of fucked up. So it was kind of a bummer to see that, but I don't know. Nope. Maybe it was timed where they said, you know what, we're done.
I mean, I think also, too, we had, when was it? It was one of the shows we did was, I don't remember when it was. We had our video of the show was Motorhead.
Yeah.
And it was that one with Lemmy.
Oh, what, the last
looking.
One?
Yeah, that was.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, was it last year, wasn't this year? Okay.
Oh, I think we might have saw it. Watch it this year. We taped off Access.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And it was sad to see him. He looked
bad.
Yeah,
I think
dude.
That was. So I'm counting it in this year as just something that sucked.
Yeah.
Not necessarily something that happened.
Well, he
this
died
year,
the latter part of last year. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, that
so,
kind of layover.
So seeing that show and seeing that, to me, that's an example of, you know, when you talk about people that are just, and I don't mean people that should be giving it up. You know, we've talked about that a million times. I'm talking about people that are just like, what's going on, dude? Like, something's wrong. And it's like, and if you're at that stage, I mean, you wonder why they're doing it.
Get some medical help, bro.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the only thing that's keeping them driven.
Well, certainly we've noticed, yeah, you'll see people, they'll be, I mean, Ozzy's one of these guys. I think Angus is kind of one of these guys where they're, you know, they're just like a million years old and they've been doing this forever. And they just, when you see them anywhere not on stage, they look kind of like just old and beat
feeble.
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
But then as soon as the music starts, they're like, ding, like they just, like they took this secret underdog energy pill.
It's pretty wild.
Fucking ring, and they're just, ding, like they're on coke or something. They just automatically pop back into normal, you know, sort of version of what you remember. So,
Here's like a combination Kiss and Kick is, and it depends on how you look at it, but I guess the Kiss part is Ozzy and Zakk Wylde back together. Again, that's we've discussed it back on earlier shows that, you know, hey, we want Gus G to get more of a shot, but the Kick part, Ozzy says, I'm retiring, I'm done. He's done this before. We'll see if he really stays to it, but I thought about it a little bit more. If Ozzy really is going to shut it down, he should shut it down with Zakk.
Oh, okay.
Zakk was in the band longest.
Yeah.
And for them to do a little reunion thing and do a little tour, that's kind of fitting and appropriate, right? If he's going to shut it down, would you think or no?
Yeah. I think the ultimate would be to do that and maybe on, I don't know where they are. Let's. Do you have any idea where Jakey Lee is? Is he still in, wasn't he in like in Nevada or Arizona or something?
I'm not sure.
For a while, when he was doing the Badlands stuff?
Well, he's doing the Red Dragon Cartel. He was a few years ago. I don't know if that's still going on or not.
I guess my point is, if he goes to a state where one of those guys is...
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool if, like, Jakey Lee sits in for a song, you know, Bark at the Moon or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that'd be pretty cool. But certainly the longest, running guitarist has been Zach.
I think the only other guy... I mean, you've had other guys besides Zach, not many, but if you could get Jakey Lee, I would go see that in a heartbeat.
That would be fucking awesome. Just do a song or something.
Just see Jake. No, Jake could play the whole show. I'd be cool with that.
But I mean, they'd have to rehearse. He's not going to have time for all that shit.
But no, if Jake came out and did a couple songs, that would be freaking awesome. And then bring Gus to do some of the album that he did with Ozzy.
That's what I'm saying. I only say that because I say if it is, in fact, going to be a final tour. It seems cool, that's not maybe not even worthy of a full topic, but just as an idea, isn't that cool? If you're going to do a tour and say, this is we're doing the final one, then it's like, let's bring in all the old guitar, all the people that used to be in the band at various times, you know, come in, do a song, like the old bassist, come in, do a song.
Okay, I got one to throw at you.
What?
Brad Gillis, when he came in and was going to be the guy and then left and went to do Night Ranger, he did that album, Speak of the Devil, and we got the... He did a live show, too.
Right.
Well, it was like a live DVD. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that concert on MTV back in the day. It was after Randy Rhoads died.
Right.
So he was the interim guy right before Jakey Lee got the gig. But would you bring in Brad Gillis? Maybe to do the Sabbath stuff? If only Omi didn't want to do it?
Right. But seriously, though, I think that would be really cool to do that. With any band, not just Black Sabbath.
I joke.
Or Ozzy.
All right, just about it. But you make a good point. Jake would be the only other guy, really, that you would say, hey, you want to come out and do some of your era stuff, like something off the Ultimate Sin or Bark of the Moon.
Yeah, fuck
it. I don't think they like each other too much.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, if that's not going to work, it's not going to work.
I'm not sure. But I think Sharon may rub Jake the wrong way. Kind of like Wendy Dio rub Vivian the wrong way.
Yeah.
How cool would it have been? I almost wonder if Dio were still alive and he was going to do something, if him and Viv would have mended fences and ended up doing a record together again.
Oh, that'd be the shit, dude.
Oh, that would have been bad. Well, you know, Vivian did that Last in Line thing with Jimmy Bain and Benny Appice.
Yeah, that's the thing. You figure he's got to be down with it. But, you know, what can you do? I mean, who knows if that'll ever...
Dude, this is getting better as it's warming up.
I told you.
And
dude,
if you're not going to drink yours, I'm going to drink yours.
Oh, I'm drinking it.
Well, no, that's a good point. So there's kind of a kick and kiss combination. I mean, Ozzy's not what he used to be, right? So, but still knowing that, kind of like Sabbath. Sabbath's gone. They're not going to do anything anymore.
Right.
Ozzy's gone. He's not going to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And the biggest... kicks of a few years ago is Rush. Not knowing that Rush, everybody's healthy. Uh-huh. I know Neil's got some problems with his knees and stuff. If they don't tour, but if they still made music, that would be cool.
Well, and I think that's the thing, right? Is the unless they definitively said, no, we're never making any more music, but they didn't,
Rush
right?
hadn't said that.
Right. They just said, we're not going to tour anymore.
We're not touring. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool. That doesn't mean that, maybe, even if they take like 5 years from now, they finally go, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go back in the studio. Neil comes in, says, I'll do some. And then they do it, knock it out. And then no tour. Just release an album.
I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, I'd be totally down with that. It's like, don't stop making albums if you can help it.
Right.
But touring, I understand. Neil's like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I saw that Time Stand Still. That video's been coming on like Showtime or whatever lately. So I've been watching the show. That documentary that Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Segel did.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it? Oh, it's badass.
Dude. Oh, is it badass?
Yeah. It basically goes through the R40 tour and does a lot of interviews with them about, what's it been like being in Rush and this being like the final, tour that you're doing. And you really kind of get the feeling of it, like, wow, the weight of it. That here's Neil Peart thinking, they showed it when he was doing the last show.
Uh-huh.
And there's this club of Rush people. I don't remember what they call themselves, but basically just huge Rush mega fans. They're from Canada. And they've got, they're like, all the people that just get into shit, like Lord of the Rings fans and stuff. And this chick is the one who I think started it. And she's sort of like the president of the club. And, you know, they showed a lot of scenes of her in the audience during that final show. She was teary-eyed because she knew this is it. This is the last fucking Rush show. Been following these guys for 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to see him in live again, probably. You know, so you could feel that emotional weight. I was like, wow, this is a really good documentary for one that was probably tossed off by, you know, Paul Rudd and Jason Segel, who are just huge Rush fans.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they probably produced it, probably threw their money into it to have it done. And it was really great.
Name of the fans are called, they're called the Signals.
Signals?
Signals.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for adding that.
Appreciate it, yeah.
No problem. Just want to help.
The Signals.
All right, then.
It could have been the Power Windows.
So, anyway... is it time? I think we're done with the kicks and we're ready for kisses, or what do you think?
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost ready for another beer if you ever get your fucking beer down your throat.
Your throat, you son of a bitch.
Mm. This is a sipping beer. It does get better
It's
kind of
hard to belt. Mm. But let's do a quick little station identification and then we'll fucking kick it into kisses.
Walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's gonna find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
The right to rock.
I tell you what, before we get into the kisses, let's get an honorable mention up here. Michael Sweet and George Lynch did their second record together called Unified. Came out earlier this year, or not that, or much earlier, but a few months ago, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, pretty good record. It was a little bit harder to get into than the first one. Really dug the first one. It's more of what you expected. It was more like, almost like Dokken with Michael Sweet singing, which was like, that's fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
This one, I think they wrote a little bit more in... it's almost more Lynch Mommy, to be honest.
Nice.
But some of it's, there's some hits and misses on this. So it didn't make the top list, but there is some good music on here. How about we do Bridge of Broken Lies?
Nice.
Oh, I love the Lynch. Love the Lynch.
I want to throw in a quick, before we start into our kisses, I almost forgot some bad piece of news or something that kind of bummed me out from 2017. And that is Gibson is suing Funko. And Funko, you know, makes those little action figures. They're these guys. Remember?
Yeah.
So you got like Ace Frehley from the Kiss line. And they've got Slash. The Slash actually looks really cool, considering. I mean, it's got really nice detail on all the stuff. And anyway, it's apparently good enough detail that Gibson said, "Hey, motherfuckers, that's an unauthorized use of our instruments." I mean, who gives a shit, right? But they're getting them. And so I think that's...
Doesn't Gibson have better things to do? I bet you some dumbass lawyer went in there and said, "Hey, you're missing the boat here."
Yeah, we're leaving money on the table here. But the thing
is... Hold on. Colin, you have something to say?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you guys are going on and on, and as usual, you're talking out of your ass. But the problem here is that Gibson actually has a pretty good suit. And I advise them to pursue,
of course,
legal action against this company, Funko, whatever the fuck the name is. And, you know, the problem is, you know, you just can't go using people's intellectual property like that, you know.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, of course you're involved.
As a matter of fact, though, I read that they actually emailed him or whatever, sent him a letter early on and
cease
said,
and desist?
Hey, what the hell, dude? You didn't ask permission. And they said that nobody responded.
It's time to pay the fiddler.
They just fucking ignored him. So it's like, all right, then let's get a lawyer.
Mayor McCheese.
Yeah, so finally, I guess, very official envelope smelling suspiciously of burgers shows up at the office. And they go, no, this shit can't be good. It's all greasy and
fucking
shit.
Fucking mustard stamp. You know those, like, imprints in the with the candle? It's with mustard.
Oh, you're fucking funny, aren't you? You're a regular couple of fucking heckle and jekyll magpie fucks, aren't you?
Yeah, thanks for that reference from the 60s.
Yeah, that was awesome. Half our audience isn't going to know what the fuck you're mentioning.
Hey, fuck you. Heckle and jekyll are fucking awesome.
That's true. It's true. Yeah,
I just wanted to compliment you on the mustard stamp. I thought that was really classy.
So I just wanted to mention that, throw that out there. I get why they're pissed. They say those guys, we tried to talk to them and they told us to go fuck ourselves. So yeah, we came back a little harder. I can understand that, but it does seem a little petty. Just like, I mean, look at that. They said, for instance, yeah, here's what they said in the little quote. They said, the misuse of the Gibson trademarks by Funko was intended to cause, has caused, and is likely to continue to cause consumer confusion, mistake, or deception, including the misleading of consumers into mistakenly believing that the defendant's unauthorized products are made directly by Gibson, pursuant to Gibson's strict quality control standards.
Oh, Lord.
Right. Like, I'm going to look at that action figure and go, I think Gibson made that.
I guarantee you, some fucking lawyer got in there and he's like, man, we're missing the boat here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a money grab. But you know what they say about trademarks and all that kind of stuff? They say, if you don't sue people for it when they use it, then you eventually lose it. You lose the right to your trademark. Yeah, if you don't defend it,
sure,
then you lose it. That's how it works. And so
but
you have
Kiss,
to.
Can Kiss sue?
No, for all we know, they went to Kiss and said, we're going to do some action figures. They said, cool, and they signed all
maybe
the
same thing.
Done. They just didn't do it for
the big paycheck part.
Just like, for instance, I mean, what if you know, if you could tell, like, oh, those are Levi's. You didn't get Levi's permission for the jeans that are on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who gives a fuck? So jumping into the Kisses.
You're right over there.
That's some strong shit. What was it, like 12.8 or something?
Yeah, 12.6, I think.
Delicious.
It's hot shit. All right, so Gagus, I played a couple. Let's go with the Kiss from you.
All right.
And we'll play a song, and then we'll jump into another quick beer.
All right, let me jump back to near the beginning of the year with a new band that came out. I think this is, as I recall, a new band on the scene. I think they've, you know, obviously been around a while, but new to their first album, that is. And I think they're from California. I think it's a California trio, as I recall. They're called Dayshell.
And, oh, I dig these guys.
Yeah, they even played here a while back, and I didn't get to make it to the show, but I really wanted to see them because these guys are fucking rocking as shit. The deal with them is they're like a cross between the melody and the power of Tesseract, but with the aggressiveness of Seven Dust. That's how I described it in the review. And they're fucking amazing. I gave them a four horns up. This was back in the middle of January, and they fucking rock, dude. They really do remind me a lot of Tesseract, but more bass heavy. Real funky bass like you like. So let's do a track off of them. This one's called Carsick.
Come on, pick up the bass and
Sweet. Yeah, I dig the Nutshell too. That kind of a newer, wouldn't say metalcore really, but yeah, kind of there with the higher vocals.
Like a and, funky metalcore.
Yeah, thing. Heavy yeah. shit. But very cool. I really dug them too. I was a band that kind of I dug as new bands, and I kind of wish we would have come up with like a list of our favorite new bands of the year. Maybe we'll do that next year to add to the Kicks and Kisses list. But
yeah,
very cool. Very cool. Well, we got another beer. This is another one I picked up on Good Friday, and holy shit, I can't fucking read a thing.
It's the Black Crack
Southern Star.
Yep, it's a bourbon barrel aged stout from Southern Star. It's called Black Crack.
I like it.
Yeah, it's basically their Buried Hatchet stout, but bourbon barrel aged.
And dude, their Buried Hatchet's a really good
classic stout. Yeah, this one, let's read the quick description. Aged in bourbon barrels, this specialty will have all of the rich malt flavor of its base beer, our Buried Hatchet Stout, complemented by a caramel, woody sweetness, and vanilla notes from prolonged contact with American oak.
Nice.
Dark tobacco, medium char, and hints of the original bourbon make this hard-to-find release a real treat. So
That's
pretty fucking cool. Their first release was back like a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
And this is the first time, I think, since then that they've released it. So pretty fucking exciting. 10% ABV. Let's fucking give this guy a shot.
Let's see what it looks like over there.
Yeah, nice lacing.
Yeah.
Again, kind of a soapy lacing. Nice and dark.
I think we're going to have all fours tonight.
We might. I mean, that's a four
a smell?
Look. Four look. Let's do the
Ooh, it smells good.
Oh, it smells real nice. Yeah, that's a four. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, let's totally. Do this. Cheers.
Enjoy. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, wow.
Watery.
Mmm. It's like drinking chocolate milk. It tastes of chocolate. It's not a typical bourbon aged barrel beer.
No.
I don't taste that. It's really smooth.
Very. I think that maybe that's the word I'm looking for. It feels watery. It doesn't feel heavy or thick. But you feel that, I mean, you can tell there's alcohol in there, but it doesn't taste alcoholy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just taste like a nice chocolate finish.
That is nice. Wow, when that warms up, that's going to get even more amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because of the blueberry or what, but I don't taste the bourbon barrel taste that I normally taste.
It smells really smooth. I mean, it tastes really smooth.
This is one that could get you in trouble quick.
Basically, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the one where you're sitting down while you drink it, and then you're like, no, I'm fine. And you get up to go to the bathroom and go, oh, fuck. You get a little teetery.
Like, kind of grabs you by the poo-poo, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Anyway,
I did mine, Mike, one of my kisses, the day show. What do you got over there?
Let's see here. Yeah, because we're going to do a lot of honorable mention stuff here towards the end. But nice. One of the records that really, and I think this is a joint kiss.
All right.
Miss May I.
Ah, nice.
Where fucking phenomenal concert we saw there, right?
Oh, fuck yeah. We saw that show about the middle of the year, mid-May,
and
I think.
We met the guys. Very, very cool
guys. Very cool dudes, yeah.
Very cool. Shadows Inside, it was one of my favorite records of the year. Very, very strong record.
It got CD everything. Of the month.
Yeah, yeah. Just very solid metal, you know, with lots of different elements. Got the melody that we both like. Great guitar work we like. It had they're kind of that quintessential. They got cookie, clean vocals, and then great melodies and great guitar solos.
And a little genty. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I, that's the thing. I don't know where you stand on gent.
Uh huh.
But I like it. I don't like all of it, but I like that kind of. I like that kind of fucking
like that,
chunk to it. And these guys do a really nice job of it. But while, like you say, adding the element of the clean vocals as well as the heavier, the guttural vocals, and that shit sounds really cool.
Oh, yeah,
the way
totally.
That makes it very a lot of power. I mean, people were jamming all over the place at that show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just moshing like a motherfucker.
Fucking crazy.
Especially with that one chick who was like fucking like all aggressive as fuck. We were like, holy shit, that bitch looks bad.
I went out there and moshed like a pussy, and no one else was moshing just to get a rise out of the metal munchkin. And I got in before I got violent again.
Yeah,
I'm too old for that shit anymore.
Dude, they were doing a wall of death shit and stuff. I don't do that. That business, yeah. Where we're just going to run at each other and try to kill each other. I don't think so.
Shit.
But yeah, killer show, dude. So
let's play the title track.
Yeah, go for it.
I love that. That's one of my favorite songs on the record.
Hell yeah.
week.
So later on in the year, we had one of my favorites. All of the ones I'm mentioning, I really there were a lot of great albums, and you're going to touch on, like you say, the honorable mentions. Whereas I'm really just kind of concentrating because there's so many on the Four Horns.
There was
ones.
A lot of
anyone's that got four records. Horns are on my list. So
it was a good year for metal.
Fuck yeah, dude. Persephone is my next band on here. Fucking love these guys. They're very, very much a progressive metal band, and they're fucking. They've got all the fucking skill you could never ask for. They came out in February, or at least that's when the review was, and they had an album called Athma. I don't know if that's their first album. It might be. Yeah, it's their new album. Had a lot of pyrotechnics, very Dream Theater or Symphony X-y.
Oh, nice.
But also a real genty vibe. So
oh, cool.
I love that shit. So, I mean, again, kind of Tesseract. Basically, a lot of these bands were very Tesseract-y that I was picking at the time. And their music's phenomenal. If you get a chance, check them out. Love to see them on a bill with Tesseract and maybe like Animals as leaders or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be a killer lineup. For the song, I will pick Prison Skin. Killer brand. What
yeah,
you got?
Cool. I wasn't familiar with them, so that's cool.
You should check them out. I'll play you some
totally.
Later. You'll dig it.
Another band I want to bring up, and this was another, like a double kiss, because we saw them live, and they were fucking amazing live.
Nice.
Had a great interview with the lead singer on the tour bus. Fucking awesome. And Mr. Biggs, Defying Gravity.
Yep. Eric Martin, always cool guy to talk to.
Fuck yeah, he is. The new record was really good, and it's kind of interesting hearing how it was thrown together pretty quick.
And yet, if I recall correctly, this is really different than the album before it, in that I noticed with that album that was before it, I think, what is it, the follow-up to, there was like, what was the album before it?
Stories
We Could Tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what was interesting about it when we talked to Eric is, from the sound of it, basically, he had to kind of assemble everybody's parts. I mean, they weren't able to be there because of their various tours and
that was
side
the last
projects.
Record. It wasn't Defying Gravity. Defying Gravity
was
more...
That's the thing.
He was unprepared.
That's the thing. They came back,
right?
And everybody came back with a vengeance. Like, all right, we're back into it. You know, we're not as busy. Let's throw everything into this. And that was really cool because, yeah, the one before it and even the one before that, he was like struggling to get people to like give him... He's calling them up like, hey, man, I need those tracks and stuff, as I recall. So kind of felt bad for him. But then this came back and kicked ass because everybody was prepared and brought lots of material, and they really knocked out a great album.
Exactly. And he gave us shit. He said we gave us the Stories We Could Tell. We gave him a bad review. Somebody didn't like it. He blamed it on me. Never forget that.
For what it's worth, sometimes you come back to an album later and you find out, I don't know why I didn't dig it as much as I'm digging it now.
Right.
You get a different feeling about it. That must have been one of those.
Well, you know what? If you go back and listen to What If,
What If is so solid. What a great...
That was a killer album. Yeah, with Undertow and all that.
Return to Form album for them.
And that's, I guess, when the one after that came out, The Stories We Could Tell, I was a little disappointed because it didn't quite hit that level.
It went into a different direction. It's a little bit more raw.
And then when I came out of this one was even more than that.
Yeah.
I think it was even more raw and bluesy.
Right.
As I said in the review, I think it was that review where I said, you know, the thing is, they're a killer fucking live band. And that's the sound that they have now. Like the best bar band you ever heard.
Right.
And I think I remember when I told him that, he liked that. He's like, I appreciate that.
Cause he did that.
I like the sound of that we're the best bar band. Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like, just imagine walking into a club one night just on the cool. Just, oh, I don't know this place. You walk in and there's just this amazing band and they're lighting shit up.
Yeah.
You know, just the riffs are amazing. The singing, the crowd's pumped. And you're like, who the fuck is this band? They're great.
Sure.
That Mr. Big is that band.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't translate so well to put that on an album. Right. You know what I mean? It's better. It's like you need to see it live.
Sure.
So maybe that was the space I was in. And I don't think I was overly critical.
Well, I tell you what, to be honest, and I told him when we interviewed him that when I first heard the record, it didn't grab me.
But the more I listened,
the more I liked it.
Yeah.
Defying Gravity, same thing. It didn't grab me at first, but the more I listened to it, the more I dug it.
Right.
So I want to play a track off that. How about Forever and Back?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm just a simple man doing the best I can, driving a car I can't afford. Born with a losing hand, don't have a master plan, trying to do right by the Lord. I am the beast, you're the beauty. Do you still have feelings for me? I know that I said some quite stupid things, and if I only could take the words back, 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 then would you say that you love me? Gamble more than enough. Promise you I give it up. And I'll open a bank account, save up a big amount, buy back the future we lost. I've been a fool to my princess, treated you wrong from the start. But oh, when you left me, I lost my direction. So tell me that you want me back. Back, 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 back. Then would you say that you love me?
Nice track. So you had that, the end of Mr. Big. I'm glad you dug it. My next one is another. I had a lot of weird ones in the beginning of the year that weren't necessarily mainstream metal.
Yeah, you get into that weird shit.
Yeah, and like for instance, you know, the Nova Collective is one of my faves, and because it's like a jazz metal thing. But one of them was Without Waves. That was an interesting album. These guys were they're like a Chicago band, and they're really impressive. They fuse different elements of like jazz fusion, extreme metal, and stoner rock.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds like a weird combination.
That is weird.
But they're amazing, dude. So, I mean, you come from a famous blues town like Chicago, and these guys have some really neat musical ideas that are sophisticated and laid back at the same time. So it's kind of funky. But they're really great to listen to. You're really going to dig this band. They get the one I really want to play for you guys is Poetry and Putrid Air. And I like it because you get this Damn the Machine sort of proggy jazz metal kind of opening. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into this Opethy clean tone groove.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, later on with the following song. I mean, the album has got this really great just kind of up and down sort of thing, kind of heavy or funky, sophisticated, then mellow and stonery. Sweet. I love that. So check out Poetry and Putrid Air and see what you think of it.
We'll be right back.
Sweet, you always sell those curveballs.
Yeah, I know, dude. I like the different shit.
All right, my next Kiss. This is a band that kind of took me by surprise. I'm not a big fan of bands with female vocalists. I do like some.
I know you mentioned that. It's interesting.
And stuff like that. The woman, I get, she's got to have the certain kind of voice. Powerful voice.
Fair enough.
I'm a huge fan of Soraya. I don't know if you remember them at all from the 80s.
I remember the name.
That was one of... I liked Lita Ford. Who didn't like Lita Ford? But Soraya, forget about it. I love that band and the guitar work. You got to have a solid band behind you.
Sure.
And then...
Otherwise, it's a gimmick, right?
Yeah, the vocalist, she has to be a strong, powerful vocalist. So this band kind of took me by surprise. Cobra and the Lotus. They had a record that came out called Prevail I.
You raved about it.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, man. I like In This Moment. I think they're really good. I like Lacuna Coil. They're badass. But this one's more straight ahead, and I really dug it. So I was going to play the track called Light Me Up.
Nice. Following that, back in March, I really got into a band called Ginger. They had their album King of Everything, and I really dig them.
And Marianne and the Skipper too. She's a good and his wife.
Dude, if you're not going to sing it right, don't even sing it, man.
Just Google the lyrics real quick and come back at us.
The millionaire and his wife.
There you go.
Thank you.
The movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Kindness of Red Man's Isle.
I like the sound of that.
That was cool. I dug that.
I think they need to make a change.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. So, anyway, you can kind of think of this band as maybe, I wouldn't know what, you'd call them progressive metalcore, R&B gent, or whatever. The lead singer, Tatiana Shmaliuk, she's got some really non-metal influences that are really more like soul, rhythm and blues, funk and jazz. So she can do this really beautiful, soft serenade with her voice, really kind of like Ella Fitzgerald jazzy style, but then she marries that with, because she does fucking like cookie vocals too.
Oh wow.
And she's like, wah! She's powerful as fuck. So it's really amazing, that juxtaposition. And then you've got, again, the amazing dudes behind it playing all this great fancy genty kind
sure.
of proggy stuff. So they're a really great band to listen to. And my favorite tune off of this one, I couldn't fucking stop playing it, was I Speak Astronomy. The video is badass if you get a chance to check it out. It's real spacey and trippy. So check this one out.
Sweet. All right, I've got another one, and this is a double kiss of the year.
Nice.
Government Mule.
Gummit?
They had their brand new record that came out this year, Revolution Come, Revolution Go. Nice. And we were able to see them live, and they were fucking awesome, man.
They were kick-ass,
I definitely went down as one of my favorite shows of the year.
Fuck
sure.
Yeah, they were amazing.
So, I tell you what, why don't we play, the title track?
Let's do it. I mentioned him just a bit ago, the Nova Collective, one of my, I like you say, I like a lot of these weirder bands. This is more straight up jazz metal.
Yeah.
And I love these dudes. Basically, it's like a Trioscapes Haken supergroup. You remember Haken last year, I think it was, when we talked about him.
Yeah.
Prog metal group that that Mike Portnoy recommended on his Twitter feed. And I was like, well, all right, if he thinks it's great, I'll check it out. They're fucking amazing.
Oh, nice.
And Trioscapes is another band that's actually almost kind of a super group themselves, because they got members from Between the Buried and Me, I think is the bass player for them.
Oh, wow.
And another dude, a sax player, and then an amazing fucking drummer. And so anyway, bits and pieces from each of those bands all come together to make this new band called Nova Collective, and they're fucking unreal. It's basic badass jazz metal prog band type shit. So it's all these super sophisticated, shifty time signatures, but real fucking, jazzy, not prog metal.
Nice. Head,
prog metal, jazzy. And I can get enough of this fucking album, and I hope they tour someday. I would love to see them. I think maybe to give you a good example of what they sound like, let's go with Cascades.
Let's do it.
Thank you. got over there?
A double double kiss, Holmes.
You got them all day long.
Well, I mean, we're fortunate enough to see a lot of bands that we love live this year.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the most shows we've seen in a year, in a while. But a favorite we saw a few months ago, actually not even a few months ago, a month ago, we saw the Lynch Mob.
Oh, yeah.
And they got their brand new record called The Brotherhood out.
Killer.
And I've been, I think a show back or so, we played I'll Take Miami, so I'm not going to do that again.
All right.
You already heard that. So we got to do something different.
What do you
right?
got?
Yeah. How about The Main Offender?
Fuck yeah.
You actually played Mr. Jekyll and Hyde.
Love that song.
On the show. So, I thought The Brotherhood, that was one of the, this is one of those records that kind of had to grow on me a bit.
Uh-huh.
It didn't grab me at first, but the more I listened, the more I liked. And there are some clunkers on there that I'm not huge on. But I really thought this was a strong record. And, I mean, this continued to get stronger and stronger and stronger the more that they, you know, are active together. You know, George is right. doing everything in, under the sun.
Fuck yeah.
Oney's got his thing with the Dio Disciples.
Nice.
But when they're all together, and now it's really kind of a band with Jimmy DeAnda, it's kind of nice, man. So how about a little Main Offender, Holmes?
Let's do it. If we haven't mentioned it too, by the way, yet, this fucking video looks amazing.
Oh, fuck yeah, it does.
I mean, it's great. Your Tony is just, God, I love Tony Iommi. He's so great.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, he's the fucking, he's just the elder statesman of rock. He's just like, look, if you need a badass riff, I'm fucking made
I'm
out of
man.
Him. Yeah, it's like I just, that's how I speak in riffs.
Oh, shit.
So, getting back to the albums, the Kisses of the Year, one of my favorites, one of our old-time friends we talked to, Pete L'Espérance.
Fuck yeah.
Guitarist for the amazing Harum Scarum, who's been doing their thing for about 30 years or so now.
Yeah.
And they came out with their album in the middle of the year, in June. They came out with United. Killer fucking song, the title track, but killer album as well. A lot of good tunes on there. United, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow, One of Life's Mysteries, Bite the Bullet. I love these guys because it's just basically world-class melodic hard rock.
Fuck yeah.
It's meat and potatoes melodic hard rock. Beautiful, giant vocal choruses, you know, harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
And just killer fucking riffs from old Pete. And you couldn't ask for better. And I hope these dudes keep on going for a long time. And hell, I hope those motherfuckers play here someday.
Oh, well, if Pete will fucking come back on the show, he's like, I'm going to do it, mate. And then, I don't know, he's talking English. He's a Canadian dude, but...
He's from Hogtown, Holmes.
I'm going to do it, eh?
Beauty. No.
And every, no. As soon as something comes out, I was like, dude, we got to talk. He's like, sure, man, win. Eh?
You should just tell him right fucking now, dude.
Well, that's what I got to do.
Just gotta stop him right then.
Say, it's going to happen. I should just call him and say, dude, when are we going to do this?
And he's like, when are you done? He's like, dude, we're recording right now, motherfucker.
This is an unlisted number. Why don't you get this?
So anyway, hey, let's jump into a song. Probably my favorite off of that. I couldn't stop playing this fucking track. That's Bite the Bullet.
Alright, well, cool. We are winding down here on some of these kisses.
One more,
but there's a couple more I want to mention here real quickly. One that I gotta say, I'm very, very pleasantly surprised because I like these guys' stuff, but they just hadn't had that solid record that just fucking kicked your ass in a while. And we just recently did an interview with the vocalist, David Redman, from Pink Cream 69. So I hope you guys dug the interview. Talking to David was fucking awesome. The guy was awesome.
Nice.
And we are, hopefully, we've talked about doing some stuff in the future. So hopefully that's going to happen because he's very active as well. So yeah, David's singing with Almanac with Victor Schmolsky, formerly of Rage.
Oh, fuck, your boy.
Schmolsky's fucking
You're
amazing.
All about Schmolsky, dude.
I love the Schmolsky.
He's the man. Who doesn't need a little Schmolsky in their life?
Yeah, who needs some Schmolsky?
Feeling a little Schmolsky.
Get a Schmolsky. Little Schmolsky vodka.
I know, honey, come over here. I'm feeling a little Schmolsky.
Who doesn't need some Schmolsky? Hey, I'm feeling a little Schmolsky right now.
And I was like, hey, yeah.
How you doing? So anyway, so David could be coming back on the show either on Almanac or just to fucking talk some metal, man.
Nice.
But anyway, let's talk about the Pink Cream because the Pink Cream is probably the best record they've done since Electrified back in early 90s stuff.
Those are your boys. I was going to say, you've been a fan of Pink Cream for a long time.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. So let's pick something off their brand new record, Headstrong. How about Man of Sorrow?
He will leap through the door in which he came, bowed in shame against the blame. Oh, the fight for his innocence was strong. His unsung song was sung so wrong. And so he hid in the heart of the city, staring out the open window. We just cried as days pass by. He's not eager to greet them, but his hope's the only tonic that's still dry.
Look at the fucking cover. Isn't that a cool cover, too?
Yeah, it looks funky, dude.
Oh, so I love their fucking cover.
It's like I'm blowing my head off.
No shit. I didn't know it was a robot.
All right, so I'm going to follow with my final entry. I don't remember when it actually came out. Where did you count when it got picked up as on a major label?
Came out in 16, but came out on a major label in 17.
So yeah. We're going to count it because it's our boy, Tracy G, the inimitable Tracy G.
And we give a little favoritism there because he is our boy.
I'm willing to admit it, but by the same token, he's a fucking bad motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, he is.
You can't say this isn't a great fucking album. As we probably said in 2016, but like I say, he kind of gets another pass because it's 2017. He came out, and that's just kudos to our boy. Yeah, I mean, totally. That's how badass he was. He told us about it in the interview in Halloween about how the dude heard it, liked it enough to say, you know what, motherfucker, I want to put this bitch out.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it because Tracy G sort of produces all of his own stuff.
Yeah, he just does his own and puts it out there. If it takes, it takes. If it doesn't,
that's the thing. It's like if nobody wants to put him on a major label, he's still going to keep making these albums. So.
Well, it's like we talked about when we interviewed him when he met Michael Beatty. Or they've been friends for a long time.
Yeah,
when they started recording together, mind you. And doing the heavier stuff, it's just a really good chemistry there.
Fuck yeah, the vocals, Beatty sounds fucking amazing with
totally.
And you look at him; he doesn't sing like he looks.
He looks like an old biker dude.
Yeah, he looks like he'd sing totally different. But he's got a great fucking rock voice. He's perfect for Tracy G.
Totally.
And they do stuff beyond just the Tracy G. I mean, they do other projects together just because he really digs working with them, which is nice to find someone you like working with that much. And anyway, the bottom line is, as I wrote in the review of the album, fans of Tracy G know what to expect from his latest album, but if you're new to his solo work, you're in for a treat. He's simply one of the most criminally underrated artists, consistently putting out original guitar-based music that blends old and new school techniques. Enough said. So, four horns up, as you would expect from our friend. He is amazing as always, and you're going to dig this track we got to play for you now, and that is PCH. Let's do it. Nice little Jeff Beck, sort of ode to Jeff Beck.
Yeah,
there.
Totally, totally. He's a big Beck guy.
He's a huge Beck fan, dude. I love watching his video on YouTube. If you get a chance, look it up. He's at this little club, and he's playing Freeway Jam, and it's fucking amazing. He fucking rocks the shit out of it.
Nice. Do you get any honorable mentions or no? If not, I'll mention a couple more.
No, that's more your style. Like I said, just because of the sheer number, I always try to keep it small, so I just pick only the four horns up.
I want to say what a great year for hard rock and heavy metal. A lot of great music come out. One that was huge for us, and we got to interview Nick Brophy from the band River Dogs. Got back together, did California.
Nice to finally talk to one of our favorite bands.
Yeah, totally. Wasn't the first record, but it was good. There were some good tunes on there for
Some really good tunes, yeah. It really grows on you when you listen.
Oh, yeah, and it's one of those bands. A lot of those older bands, I'm starting to see that these records have to grow on you before they don't just grab you.
I think that's part of the images and words effect, right? And that is that you get an album from a band early on, and it's just so fucking phenomenal that you judge every album after that against that same album, which really isn't fair to a band.
Right.
You're going to be disappointed if you say, "I want you to keep doing the same shit, but be new enough to be interesting. Don't just redo it. He's right. Like, right, but be that awesome. It's like, it doesn't work that way. You know, we're artists and we're human. So we keep trying to make, I mean, that first River Dogs album is fucking gold.
Oh, I agree.
It's one of the greatest rock albums ever, in my opinion. And so judging every subsequent River Dogs album against it really isn't fair. But if you go and listen to it on its own, of its own merits, yeah, you pick up some really good songs. They're great songwriters.
Oh, I agree.
On. So they do good stuff. So give it a chance if you find it.
Another one I want to bring up is World Trades Unified.
Oh, fuck
yeah. They
get
back together. First album in many, many moons.
Love those guys.
Fuck it, eh? And we got to talk to Billy Sherwood.
Fuck yeah, so. The man himself.
So, I mean, we've had a lot of fun talking to some really cool people this year. But talking to World Trade, I mean, I remember back when that album came out, just we were all about that record.
Fuck
man.
Yeah.
Quiet Riots, Road Rage.
Oh, yeah.
Good record, too. Got to talk to Frankie Benelli. Got to see him live. They did a really nice show here in H-Town. Really dug that. Let's see. Another one, the Key of Hearts. It's Key Marcello from Europe, as well as Tommy Hart from Fair Warning. And I really dug that. That was a nice little union. And I get worried about some of the Frontiers projects where you see a lot of big names in one project.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
You get too big. It?
What happened here?
Yeah.
Is it the real deal? Whatever. But no, that turned out to be a good record. Chakras, Snakes and Ladders.
Shakira, very good.
We got to talk to Mark Fox over there.
Nice.
Mark was fucking cool as shit.
The Fox Attack, Holmes.
Steel Panther came out with Lower the Bar.
Of course.
And you know what? I feel like we need to play some Steel Panther.
Sure.
Why not? You know? And there's so much, they put so much feeling and thought behind their lyrics. They're just one of those bands where you're like, they're going to be the next U2. You know, they're going to have the next sort of Where the Streets Have No Name type song.
I think basically,
know?
Yeah.
So I tell you what, why don't we play Wasted Too Much Time? And it's really a heartfelt track about love.
It's
and
a tender little
regret.
Love ballad.
Yeah, pretty much. So Wasted Too Much Time, a little Steel Panther off Lower the Bar.
I got a tear running down my cheek, Holmes.
I did. That was sad.
One perfect tear.
One, I meant to play a track from, and I didn't play it, but Falling in Reverse, they had their new record that came out called Coming Home this year, and a very, very different record for them. It's just, they went in a different direction, and I liked it. It was different.
Same members.
Yeah.
They just went for a different direction?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Night Rage, The Venomous. Very, very good. Solid record.
Nice.
Another really good record.
Classic.
I know
we're sort of straight ahead metal.
Death
metal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, melodic death.
Melodic. Okay. Melodic death. I'm down with.
Very, very cool.
And one thing, this was a kiss, but I want to, it's like a kiss and a kick. There's a band called 18 Visions that I really dug right before they broke up.
Okay.
I was like, man, these guys are fucking awesome. And I don't know how long they were apart from each other, but they got together, did a brand new record called, let's see if I can do my Greek here, 18. And not very good.
Oh, that's too bad.
I was like, I kind of wanted to see them live, but the record was so...
They're like, okay.
Not getting, I wasn't getting it. I was like, eh, I think I'll pass. And the last thing I want to bring up, and that I might have mentioned this on a few previous show, is Steven Wilson had a brand new record called To the Bone. Mm-hmm. And I was in Bologna, Italy. And I heard this great music playing over the speakers. And I said, dude, who is this? He said, I don't know what you say. I'm
like,
Italian.
He's like making a pizza, spinning the dough up in the air. What do you say?
I'm making the pasta. What do you do? No, so he said he was playing this album. I was like, fuck, dude, that's in my inbox. Hey, check that shit out. So very, that's another one. I know a lot of real proggy guys love Steven Wilson.
Nice.
And I think you really liked his last record.
Yep.
But this one's really cool. Really, really cool record. You should check it out.
I'm a hit.
That concludes my Kiss list.
Well, for the albums, right? We still got concerts. Yeah, probably the next one.
Totally.
Let's jump into that real quick because let's do a quick station ID and then come back and do some concerts and knock that out.
Let's do it.
Now I'm off to get my life-sustaining supplies, cornmeal and gunpowder and ham hocks and guitar strings.
The Right to Rock.
So, I guess, again, like I usually do, maybe start from the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year kicked off really nice. Interestingly, too, it ended the same way. Not that I saw that show, but enough's enough.
Oh, yeah.
They were here in January. Yeah. Came back recently here at the end of the year. I didn't get to see them this time, but I did see them in January, and they were fucking fantastic.
Yeah, they came with LA Guns here in December.
Uh-huh.
And I was lucky enough to catch them in Dallas at the Hair Metal Holiday.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, dude, it was. It was Ace Frehley headlined, and then Dokken, LA Guns... I don't remember.
LA Guns with...
LA Guns, Dangerous Toys.
Oh, wow.
Graham Bonnet Band.
Who was the guitarist for Dangerous Toys? We know Jason McMaster was a vocalist.
I don't know the dude's name, but he's fucking awesome. Well,
that's what I thought.
Dude is fucking awesome.
The same guy from back in the day, right?
Yeah. Because he's an old-looking dude.
Oh,
and
wow.
I saw him. It's the same guy that played Rock the Bayou about 5-6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
The dude, Dangerous Toys was a lot of fun.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's the thing. As I remember, it's like, for all the, you know, controversy or whatever, people want to kind of shit on him. Because then I think Jason kind of has, he's a little one of those rambunctious guys, kind of starts trouble for himself.
He's fun.
Gets himself into trouble a lot, right?
Sure.
Got kind of a big mouth, one of those guys. But I think he's a good vocalist. And I think that song, that Scared or whatever,
Scared.
I always love that. If you listen to it and really listen to the guitar part, there's a lot of really cool shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just your basic rock song.
The guy's a fucking monster.
Yeah, so you're just like, that's one dude doing all this shit. And I really dug that. And I was surprised they never got any bigger than that.
Yeah, me too. Well, they had that one breakout record, and after that, they just never
it's like they disappeared. Yeah, back when we were in college.
Well, you had grunge kind of coming in too. So
maybe that was it. Yeah, and he's been haunting Austin ever since, right? He's still just kind of all over the place.
I think he's got a band called Broken Teeth. Didn't they do a Watchtower record?
I thought so. He's been in a bunch of projects
ago, and
and so.
He's kind of all over the place. He does a lot of stuff. But they were really good. And then, of course, Enough's Enough was in there, too. So, they were fucking... I tell you what, they were better than when we saw them in January.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to talk about. Is it was amazing that, now that you don't have Donny V anymore, and it's been a while, but you had that other guy who was doing the lead singing.
Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco. And, but
he texted Chip, said, you know what, I'm not feeling it right. I need a few months off.
And Chip's
like, fuck.
Cool.
He said, hey, man, fuck you. We're going to go on. We're going to go back to Chicago. And
I got a hat getting made. He's like, the chick's already working on his next hat. It's like fucking 3 feet tall.
Oh, dude, wifey saw him live. She's like, Oh, my God.
Well, you see him if you don't know what he looks like. Yeah. I mean, especially if you look at him back in the day. Oh, I was watching just for the fuck of it the other day at work. I was like, during lunch, I'm like, let's kick something on. Started watching some YouTube videos. Threw on Fly High Michelle and a new thing. And
they look more normal back then.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Chip actually looked fucking. I mean, he looked kind of. He was all lean and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the shirt open. I mean, he looked sure. like fucking. He's like, what's up, hot rocking dude? Now you look at him, you're like, what the? He's like somebody's dad. Dressed up for Halloween.
And looks, I don't know about
it's
the
a
hair.
Funky look.
I don't
and
know
I'm
about
not
the
trying
hair.
To insult you, Chip, if you're hearing this.
We love you, Chip.
You do
we
your
do.
Thing. Do your thing. It's just a different look. It's,
right, right.
He's already a tall dude.
Oh, he is.
So,
huge.
You know, whatever he puts that 2-foot-tall hat on yeah, top, yeah. So he just looks weird. But it doesn't matter because he gets on stage, starts playing that bass, starts singing, and it's Enough's Enough, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
classic Enough's Enough.
Dude,
he sounds amazing.
And with Tony over there on the from Ultravox on
doing the backing
rhythm
vocals.
Guitar, doing the backing vocals.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, dude, it's just, it's not Donnie V. Man,
it's
they're
the
pretty
next
damn
best
close.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the next
for sure.
best thing for sure.
So I really enjoyed seeing it. And then Wifey, as much as she's like, oh, my God, what am I looking at?
Oh, what
she's
is
like,
this shit?
I really fucking dug them.
Fuck
they were
yeah,
really
dude.
Good.
That's the thing. Enough's Enough is one of the best fucking bands of the era.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm willing to say that.
I agree.
And I'm not saying it
great
to pump
songs.
Anybody up. Their songs are fucking phenomenal. And Derek Frigo's sorely missed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But these guys that they get.
Donnie is too. But
and this two guitar attack that they're doing is a nice.
Oh, Tori and Tony.
Of, yeah, it's a great combination.
Just imagine if Donnie came back to the fold.
Holy fuck, dude. They'd blow people away.
Oh, dude, they would be huge.
Be
oh, I don't know if they'd be huge,
but
with us,
tell you what though,
huge.
Sure. But I mean, tell you what, they'd have a chance though if not only Donnie came back, but they wrote a new album. Donnie and Chip,
yeah,
wrote the songs. Donnie sings, Chip on backing vocals, and then keep the other two guitars. That's fine.
Oh, yeah,
keep everybody.
I don't want the band to
yeah,
change.
Yeah,
I just
don't
want
lose
Donnie
anybody
in there too. But
exactly, it would be phenomenal.
That. I say that, but Chip is fucking carrying the band. He's
he
doing
is.
A really
he's doing
nice
a
job.
Beautiful fucking job. And who better to do it?
Yeah,
than Chip.
And,
so,
and it was funny because Wifey's seen Enough's Enough probably a million times. She used to go with you and I when
yeah.
she and I were first married.
Oh, yeah.
We would drag her to Enough Shit every time they play Houston.
Oh, yeah. And they were fucking fantastic, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Big homers for them.
Great that they're still doing it. Love seeing those guys. I hope they keep on touring. Hell, they should come every year. I'll fucking go see them.
I would, too.
But anyway, that's the first one. What do you want to take the next one? What do you got?
Let's see. Let me put here. Let me see what I got here. So, a show I saw was fucking phenomenal. Saxon and UFO.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so one of my favorite bands in the world, Saxon. I really dig UFO. I wouldn't say a favorite, but I like UFO quite a bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing those two together, what a fucking great bill, man.
I remember when we saw UFO with Vinnie Moore.
Yeah.
Over at the Concert Pub.
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal show.
Vinnie's awesome.
Vinnie
man.
Sounds amazing.
Fuck
the
yeah.
vocalist was kicking my ass.
Phil Mogg.
Yeah, the dude's got to be like, you know, twice my age and he's kicking fucking ass, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He was singing like he was 20 years old. He sounded amazing.
Oh, yeah. Just, he got that swagger up
yeah,
there, too.
Yeah, belting it out. Yeah,
yeah,
he's got the attitude. It was beautiful.
He's got the attitude. Got the hair. He's got the shoes.
The fuck me pumps on.
No, but yeah, fucking UFOs still bring it. They're great live. What about you? What's your next one over there?
Next one, Anthrax. Anthrax
oh, God,
and Killswitch Engage.
That was probably my favorite. One of my. Had to be top three shows of the year.
Nice.
That
it
show
was a killer
was
fucking show.
Awesome. And we had the perfect seats. We're right on the front row of the balcony.
Oh, yeah. I got some beautiful pics, dude. And great. You could see everything. Yeah, the Munchkin was there. She got to see. It's like, this is what's going on down there. You know, you take a look down there, it looks like fucking chaos. The
oh, yeah.
Mosh pit and everything.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want
to
be
like,
in that.
Exactly. But it was great to watch and go, that looks fucked up. And then they're up there just rocking it.
He was like, when Daddy was young, he was in that shit. He's not in that shit anymore.
Yeah, no, we're smart enough to be out of that with our fucking earplugs in. Going,
no shit.
Fuck that. But
Yeah, I got the Mike D fucking gave me the little shout out with I had my Beards of Rush shirt on.
And you're like,
and Killswitch. That was pretty cool.
Fuck yeah, dude. It was a killer fucking show. I don't. It's hard to say who was better. Killswitch or Anthrax. They were both amazing.
I got to push a little bit towards the Killswitch side.
Fair enough.
I love Killswitch live.
Having Homeboy back on vocals, and they sounded fucking fantastic.
I thought I was going to be bummed out because Howard wasn't there.
I was going to say, even doing Howard's songs, and yeah, it still sounded fucking great.
He sounded really good.
So it was a really great fucking show. Who you got next?
I saw Udiel.
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 Herr Dirk Schneider.
Dirk Schneider. You saw him doing Accept tunes from classic German times for him.
Dirk Schneider, Uber alles.
Oh, but no, that was a badass show.
Yep.
So Udo doing Accept.
Nice.
He's coming back. It went so well. He was doing a second round.
Fuck yeah.
In 2018. So
we'll have to see him.
On a future show, we'll be watching what we saw last year.
Yeah, maybe first quarter. Over at Scout Bar, he'll be up.
I think it's March. Scout Bar, yeah.
Yeah, it's first quarter. That'll
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's check him out.
Oh, fucking Udo's badass, dude. Always delivers. And unfortunately, I had to leave early because the middle munchkin got a stomach ache.
Don't.
Daddy, my tummy hurts.
And you're like, you will sit here and listen to metal.
You will sit here and love this.
That's right. Metal will cure you.
No shit. So, what's your next one over there?
Back in May. So almost every month we saw a great show. May, the show of the month was Evergrey.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They were fucking amazing, dude. 10 years from now, I'll be still remembering that concert, Holmes.
Look at you.
I like how that album, just every song, he had to say 10 years from now on one of the lyrics. So
yeah, no shit.
It seemed like it's like, didn't he say it in the other fucking song? I kept hearing that phrase.
He's a very passionate guy.
He's always looking ahead 10 years from the now. It's going to be amazing. Anyway,
was a great show, though.
Killer fucking show. They were phenomenal. They sounded amazing. And they sang their fucking asses off.
I would say that this year the shocker to be maybe the top show of the year was Kansas.
Yes.
The 40th anniversary of Kansas.
Yeah.
They were fucking amazing.
They were phenomenal,
and heavy.
Dude. They were phenomenal.
Right? Well, fuck, they were fucking, and you're like, I remember you looked at me one time in the show, you're like,
they're going,
dude, this is so fucking heavy.
They're fucking jamming.
Yeah. I mean, just a really good crunchy.
That was one of the new songs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. They were just like, you're like, holy shit, I didn't know Kansas could do this.
Yeah, fuck
But
yeah.
They sounded amazing. And it fucking as amazing as the fiddle player was, or
oh, that dude was
what he would call
fucking
him,
amazing.
He picked up the guitar and started shredding on guitar, too. He's like, oh, by the way, like, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they were a killer fucking show, and the singer sounded fucking amazing.
I thought that was probably one of my favorite shows of the year.
That was killer. I fucking loved it. And it was a great venue to see it in.
Oh,
over
yeah.
Over at the Cullen Auditorium over on a U of H campus. Fucking killer show. It's like totally. My guitar is all beat up. Who scratched my guitar?
What you do, Archie, you bastard?
I know. Did you scratch this?
When you were fucking on one of your binges.
So who you got? Was that you that picked that? So I'll pick mine. In May, like I say, we also saw, it's kind of a toss-up. I said Evergrey was the show of the month, but the other show of the month there was Miss May I.
Oh, yeah, they were fucking
awesome.
They
were fucking phenomenal. We saw them over at the White Oak.
Yeah.
A relatively new venue that we started going to. Some killer fucking, that's a nice venue, dude.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And that was only one of them. There's like two or three stages within that area. And we were on the lower half. They've
I
got
think
an
the
outdoor's version.
Open now.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because they were
so.
Working on the outdoor. Yeah, yeah. And then they've got like an upper lounge thing, too. So you can fit a lot of fucking acts in there. And we dug the shit out of the Miss May I, dude. They rocked the fucking house, as we discussed earlier.
I'm going to blow through a couple we've talked about. Mr. Big.
Nice.
Fucking awesome.
Killer show.
Government Mule.
Government
Mule. How about Iron Maiden on the Book of Souls tour?
Can we ever fucking love Iron Maiden enough?
No.
Fucking love Iron Maiden
so
much.
I will say, the only thing that bummed me out about that show was that monitor was kind of fucked up on our side.
Yeah.
Bruce's vocal monitor.
Yeah.
Other than that, the show was fucking amazing.
Oh, it's typical Iron Maiden. They don't they don't skip on a show.
No, not
they
at
say,
all.
We're here not just, we're going to play the music, but we're going to give you a show.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got fucking Eddie, we've got all the sets, you know, we don't fuck around. We're going to do a lot of
we
cool shit.
Egyptians.
Fucking Bruce is like, I'm going to wear like 8 different fucking outfits, including my monkey outfit. Yeah, no shit. I can do everything.
A little feather head.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around. So it's great. And I think that's a quote, for, I think, from one of the articles I read. He says, I'm proud to have been ridiculous, I think is what I saw in one of the articles. In other words, because he just released his book.
Yeah, maybe out of that book.
Yeah, and his whole thing is he just said, yeah, I mean, I believe in putting on a fucking show. And if it means, like, you know, dress up in a bunch of crazy outfits and run around, I'm all about it. July was great because July gave us Megadeth, Tesseract, and Meshuggah.
Megadeth.
Was that one of the great fucking shows of the year? That's in my top three.
Oh yeah, I agree too, because Megadeth fucking was Tesseract, really.
Tesseract was kicking.
Fucking blood. And Meshuggah.
I've been digging Tesseract for two or three albums now, and I hadn't seen them live yet. Finally got to see them live. They were fucking phenomenal. And you're right. I tried to get into Meshuggah because everyone talks about him.
Yeah.
So I listened to him once, and I don't know what song it was, but I just listened going, it sounds like my CD skipping. It sounds all like da 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 da. And I was like, I'm not into it. Saw these dudes live, and I was like, these dudes are fucking great.
Oh, they were amazing.
They were fucking kick ass. So.
It's just polarizing. I mean, you're engulfed the whole fucking show.
What the fuck? Yeah. And just pounding killer fucking rhythms. And that's what I go for, especially when you're going to see Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a great lead-in to Megadeth. Which
and
then
Megadeth was awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. They were fucking sounded phenomenal. Our boy Kiko was fucking amazing.
I'll give you a kick on a concert. Scorpius was supposed to play with Megadeth, and Klaus Meine got sick.
Klaus Meine!
Yeah.
That sucks.
So they canceled the San Antonio show we were going to.
Oh, fuck. That sucks. That is a kick.
Bogus Holmes.
I'm tired of getting kicked, Holmes.
It's bullshit.
I'm going to fuck him up when I see him. So we already mentioned Mr. Big and Maiden for June. August, I got to see Greg Howe.
Good for you.
I've been fucking digging him since his first solo.
I know you
love back
Greg
in the
Howe.
Day. Just because he does that great, just again, that jazzy, fucking killer fusion metal shit. And he's just an unreal guitarist. And he was great. Stu Hamm is a bassist.
Well, Stu Hamm playing with him?
Fuck yeah, Stu
fuck
was all over.
Yeah,
dude, he did killer solo.
Have you ever heard his solo record?
No, but
he did back in the 90s?
I think I might have heard a track off of it. Yeah, I think I do recall a track off of it.
Yeah, I thought you were a fan.
Well, because I know he likes doing that fucking, he likes doing the fucking Snoopy, the fucking do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. He does that on bass.
Oh, does he?
That. Oh, yeah, he's great. And he did a really fucking cool,
did you yell, faggot?
Just start throwing sandwiches at him or something. No, he was fucking phenomenal, of course. He's one of the great rock bassists who gets really underappreciated, I think.
Yeah, he played on Flexible, too.
Oh, nice. And, of course, he plays with Satriani a lot.
Yeah.
Big
well, I just knew he played with Vi. I thought Vi was on that solo record. I don't bloody find it. So, anyway, I'm not going to play a song from that record because I can't find it. But he had a solo record that came out in the 90s.
I remember that, actually, yeah. Because he was the big guy. The other big guy that did a solo record was Randy Coven.
Who?
Remember him? Randy Coven?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, he was great.
CPR Holmes.
Exactly, Holmes. Yeah, he did a solo album that I dug back in the day as well. But anyway, I really dug the show. It was a kick-ass fucking night. He got to meet him, got to, you know, take a pic with him and all that cool shit, meet him after the show. And I guess
we talked about Lynch Mom.
Lynch Mom. Then the only one left is the obvious. It happened in December.
Yes, sir.
Little Dream Theater.
Yes,
we got to see him on
the
Images and Words anniversary, dude.
Fucking awesome.
That was fucking kick ass.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So kick ass, I don't remember. I mean, we got really fucking drunk.
Margarita.
Yeah, dude, I had the top shelf. I was drinking too.
Double
I had like
top
three
shelf.
Or four top shelves.
I was thinking, I was like, what are you fucking doing?
I don't. Well, did our boy Lee get. I mean, I know I was talking to him, and all of a sudden I said, hey, my brother's here. I'm going to go talk to him. And then I just was over there the rest of the night. Was he like, fuck that guy?
Yeah, he thought you were being a prick. No, I'm kidding. No. He
felt kind of bad.
Actually,
leaving.
No, he said it was really good seeing both of us. So
yeah,
no, it was good catching.
It was
up.
Cool seeing him. Yeah, we hadn't seen him in a long time.
Totally.
It was
totally.
Really cool talking to. We found that cool little funky bar. We went over there. So that's the thing. We've been drinking like most of that night before the show had even started. But then we got there, drank a few more. Not that that's any of y'all's business. The point is...
Phenomenal show.
The show was kick-ass. I mean, they fucking did Images and Words in its entirety.
Totally.
Before that, though, basically did a track off of every one of their other albums.
Yeah.
And then at the end, did a bunch more fucking medleys for the encore. No, for the encore, they did...
Change the Seasons.
Yeah, Change the Seasons was the encore. Just one song, but it's a 20-minute song, 20-plus minute song.
Well, it was a great... they sounded great. They looked... The show was good.
They rocked all over the fucking place.
Oh, totally.
So, I hope I get to see him again. You know, and now that the Astonishing's done, Yeah. It's cool that you guys did it. Good for you. It's let's a nice accomplishment. Else. But let's just do let's regular fucking rocking again, right? Yeah. Just do some cool concerts. So I'd love to see them come back. Because they don't come often to town.
No, they don't. Not so, to Texas. At
yeah, because usually when they do, we go to see them.
Yeah, they totally fucked Texas. Them that much. Well, they fucked Houston again.
They usually do.
So we had to go to Austin.
What else is new? So
but whatever. It was a cool little road trip.
Yeah, and enjoyed the shit out of that. Driving to Austin for that. We saw our old boy, Paul.
Yeah, totally. It was cool.
Surprise. I'm standing there. We're totally. Talking. All of a sudden, I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And there he is standing like, what the fuck?
Okay, what were the accommodations?
what are you worried about that for?
Yeah.
Just kind of curious.
Well, because... No, see, clever boy booked us in a single room, and I said, "What the fuck? How is it a single room?" And it was, yeah. And I said, "Bunk beds? Are you seriously?" And he said, "Well, you'll be sleeping on top, if you know." And I'm like, "What the fuck? What exactly?
What was that about?
I need some details."
Yeah, we left the booking to John.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Oh fuck yeah, it was. He's like. Yeah, we had like plenty of rooms with kings or two queens
yeah.
or whatever.
In fact, they were empty, yeah.
And
they weren't even in capacity.
This guy requested a single, so we had to move the two queens out.
In fact, he got argumentative about it.
Yes,
he was really weird. Insisted that it be a single.
I know you guys are close, and I thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, what a good idea. Yeah. It's a bad idea.
And that's why we Dr. Pay.
Yeah.
Is that why that
check
bounced?
Yep.
Motherfucker.
That's called punishment.
You know shit.
The punishment due, pal.
You know shit.
To make a Megadeth reference.
Oh, hello. So, anyway, let's move forward. Real quick, and we do this every year, and apparently Genghis has failed at this task. Solos. Some of the better solos of the year.
Well, I've only got one. That's why. I didn't fail.
Hey, one's better than none.
I only came up with one.
All right. I'm going to give it. I've got four.
Nice.
So let's do four.
Yeah. We'll go
bang
for
bang through this shit. All right. 10. Double guitar attack from 10.
Nice.
We have Steve Grocott and John Hollimel. I can't read my own
name. You motherfucker.
Oh, the name of the song is called The Travelers. Our Travelers. This is off their new record called Gothica. Solo starts about 4 minutes and 1 second.
Nice.
It's a really cool solo. Let's check it out. Number 2, little Pete L'Esperance from Harum Scarum.
Nice.
Forget about it. This song's called Sinking Ships. Let's check out the solo at 251.
Throw mine in. Persephone, the aforementioned prog metal band that I was really excited about, they're amazing. And so this interlude that they had in No Faced Mindless is the name of the track, around 312, had some really amazing kind of piano interlude. Oh, nice. That sounded fucking amazing. I was just like, fucking A, dude. These guys are really, it'll give you an idea of what the fuck you're missing if you don't check this band out. So here it is.
Anyway, my next one is a duel solo.
Uh-huh.
A duel. a bass and guitar duel, right? So anyway, Mr. Big, Billy Sheehan, and Mr. Paul Gilbert off the brand new record, Defying Gravity. She's All Coming Back to Me Now. And this thing starts at about 2:20. Last song here for solo of the year in that category is Mr. George Lynch off the new Lynch Mob. The Brotherhood's the name of the record. This song's called Miles Away. It's kind of got a Pink Floyd feel to it. And it's, have you ever heard Lynch doing something like a David Gilmour feel? You'll hear that in this song.
Nice.
And the solo starts at about, if I can read my writing, I think 238, but I might be lying to you. Yeah, 238. Go. That's it, and there it is. There's a little bit of a solo. Hope you dug it. But anyway, guys, we want to thank you for another great year. I hope you enjoyed the Kicks and Kisses list. We have more great shows coming to you in 2017. Oh, 2018. I don't know. I've had two beers. I don't know what year it is.
Let's try, though. We've got more.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Anyway, guys, we want to thank you for joining us once again. 2017 has been a badass year with you guys. We appreciate everything, and we can't wait for 2018.
True.
So, with that said, we want to give you two big horns up.
Thanks for listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our shows post on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying it from your favorite merchant, which definitely includes the amazing Tracy G, we love you brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.